My guest books have sold in the millions worldwide. Now he's exposing the most powerful evil strongholds working together to destroy America. And the ultimate spiritual stronghold is different than you think. I was just telling my guests, the Holy Spirit is here. He is here in such a strong fashion. My guest, Rick Joyner, best-selling author of books like The Final Quest, is known for his very accurate prophetic dreams, visions, and revelations from God for over 50 years. In his book, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days, Rick speaks of his, get this, 30-year-old vision that is exploding with accuracy right now. Rick, tell me about the evil stronghold of racism.
Well, you know, in Matthew 24, when the disciples asked Jesus, they actually asked him three questions. When will these things be? He had just talked about the temple being destroyed in Jerusalem. Then they said, and of your presence, and of the end of the age. The word that's often translated coming there literally is presence, the parousia of the Lord. So he answered all three. Many of the details he gave, I think one of the most important that's unfolding right now, when he said nation would rise against nation, and the word translated nation there, it's the Greek ethnos, from which we derive ethnic.
Right.
He wasn't talking about countries fighting each other. He was talking about ethnic conflict would be one of the signs of the end of the age. And I think that's what we see unfolding in our own time. It's rising to a crescendo I think is unprecedented, even though it's been present, I think, since the garden, you know, since the fall, the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
It's like we were making progress in some of these areas, and then all of a sudden, no holds barred, it's gone, and it's skyrocketing to extremes that are scary.
Yeah. Well, the Lord's going to raise up a standard against it. Anytime the enemy comes in like a flood like this, we know he has something. He's going to rise up to counter it, and that's what he's called his people to be. You know, his church is called to be a house of prayer for all ethnos, same word. And I believe we have a ultimate opportunity to overcome this evil. And I think we need to understand that racism is built upon two of the most evil characteristics of fallen man, both pride and fear. Mm-hmm. People become racist because they become proud in the flesh, proud of what race they are. I believe they're all forms of bigotry, such as, you know, spiritual bigotry. When we start thinking we're better than others because we're part of a certain group or denomination or whatever, God resists the proud and gives his grace to the humble. So if the devil can get us proud in these areas, any area, he knows he don't have to deal with us. God will deal with us. We'll even have the resistance of God in our life. So, you know, that's one of the ultimate evils. The other is fear, where we start becoming, you know, racist because we're afraid of those who are different from us. We're so insecure. If they don't fit right in with our mentality, with our beliefs and everything, we react. And you see this happening today on a level that I don't think there's ever been. Intolerance for differences or distinctions, when we serve a creator who made every snowflake different. Every human being is different. He loves that, the right kind of diversity, that he made us unique, every one of us. So I think if we really are abiding in the creator, when we meet someone different from us, we're not going to be intimidated or fearful. We're going to be expectant of learning something.
Hmm. But tell me about the evil stronghold of witchcraft.
Well, witchcraft is actually named in Galatians 5 as one of the works of the flesh. You know, we tend to think of it as the black magic and all that. Right. That's an aspect. That's not the most prevalent kind of witchcraft. Witchcraft is using any spirit other than the Holy Spirit to try to control, manipulate other people. I think using hype is a form of witchcraft.
Huh.
There are things like, but the Holy Spirit has more dignity than to try to hype things, than to manipulate or control. I mean, he didn't even control Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them freedom. He told them, don't eat from this tree, but he gave them the freedom to do it. So I think we really have to start recognizing how much witchcraft has gained influence even in the body of Christ. I think one of the greatest, most clear examples in Scripture is King Saul.
Right.
You know, when he saw the enemies gathering and the people scattering, he caved into the pressure and offered the sacrifice. He had no spiritual authority to offer that sacrifice. And Samuel had told him, wait till I get there. But he caved into the pressure because he feared the enemy and feared the people more than he feared God. And this is where it enters. When we start getting all of our encouragement by how the people receive us rather than God. And, you know, the people can be fickle. The same crowd that said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, 5 days later is saying, crucify him. So you're going to be all over the place if you're moving or living by the fear of man, the fear of people, in place of the fear of God. So that's crucial. This is to understand and be rooted in. Where you see the opposite of this spirit in King David. When his family and all the families of his faithful followers, they get kidnapped by the Amalekites, who were the terrorists of the day. And if anything could be worse, but then they have your own men ready to stone you, picking up stones to stone you with because of all their families that were kidnapped. If there was ever pressure to just charge out and do something, that was it. David did not respond to that pressure. It says, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He sought the Lord for a clear direction. When he's about to get stones rained on him, he still cared more about what God thought, what God was saying. So I think this attests everybody in authority has to go through. And if they cave in like Saul, you know, it was no accident. He ended up his last night in the witch's house. This is witchcraft. It's counterfeit spiritual authority.
How about the evil stronghold of religious spirit?
The religious spirit. I call these three together Satan's cord of three strands because they usually come together. He uses all three of them against us. But the religious spirit fundamentally is an attempt by the devil to get us to try to base our relationship to God on our own religious performance rather than what Jesus did on the cross. We don't seek the Lord in order to gain his approval. We don't serve the Lord to gain his approval. We already have it through the cross. We seek to serve him from a position of having his approval, and because of our love for him, we want to please him. We want to do these things, but not for what we'll gain, not for an acceptance we'll gain. That's already been done, totally. I personally believe right now the religious spirit has more influence in the church than the Holy Spirit, and what we consider the church as a whole.
And you say racism is a sign of the last days. Why do you say that?
Because Jesus said it, Matthew 24, when he said nation would rise against nation. That's the Greek word ethnic. He was talking about ethnic conflict. You know, these are all seeds that were sown in man. When Jesus said the end of the age is the harvest, it's the harvest of every seed that has been sown, both the good and the evil coming to full maturity. The wheat and the tares, and that's why we're entering into the period of the ultimate conflict between light and darkness.
What have you found is the best way to overcome the spirit of racism?
Well, I think first, let's start with humility. I think we have to understand there's nothing more valuable than the grace of God. What could be more valuable than that in our life? And when he says he gives his grace to the humble, how would our lives change if in every day and every way we're seeking to humble ourselves instead of make ourselves look bigger and better and trying to promote ourselves? Then God could promote us. Doesn't it say?
That's so opposite human nature.
You know, the Holy Spirit is opposite of fallen human nature, no doubt about it. The exact opposite. And that's, we're supposed to be of a different spirit, not the spirit of the world. But if, you know, it says, Jesus said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He didn't say some, he said everyone. Then he said, everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I think really one of the most arrogant things we can do is try to humble other people. Yeah. You know, I see all over, you know, I've seen a number of places he says, humble yourselves. I've never seen anywhere where it says, humble your pastor, humble your neighbor. And then when we start criticizing the church, this is God's own workmanship. What we're doing is criticizing God and what he's doing. Now, that's different from understanding, recognizing problems with the church or with Christians. But I think if we have his spirit, we're going to do it with a redemptive purpose instead of one that is judgmental and condemning. We'll also do it understanding it's not just a cliche, except for the grace of God, there go I. I would be the same thing if it weren't for the grace of God. And you don't want to become arrogant about the grace of God because then you lose it.
It seems we take all these wonderful things that God has given us and we pervert them.
We start to think it's because of us. You know, it's all because of the Son. All things are going to be summed up in him.
Rick reveals the ultimate racist barrier to undermine believers. It's urgent that we overcome this. It's going to shock many of you when you find out. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Call or go online at sidroth.org to get Rick Joyner's book, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days, exposing Satan's three most powerful evil strongholds. You'll also receive Sid Roth's booklet, The Mystery Law of Evangelism Revealed. Plus, we will send you our new, improved 18-karat gold-plated menorah pendant, modeled after the seven-candle lampstand that stood in the Jewish temple's holy place. All yours for a donation of $49. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9926. Rick Joyner's book, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days, urgently reveals how the coming harvest of God will uproot, expose, and judge good and evil. He will expose Satan's three most powerful evil strongholds of racism, witchcraft, and the religious spirit. Get deeper understanding of the roots of the three strongholds of the enemy so you can be empowered to fight these evils and walk in spiritual victory in these last days. Discover how the enemy tries to impose these strongholds on every church and movement that is making advances in God's glory. Defend against the Jezebel spirit that attacks end-time prophetic ministry. Be on guard for the eight stings of a witchcraft attack against you or someone you know, so you can declare blessings and reverse it. You will also receive Sid Roth's personal booklet, The Mystery Law of Evangelism Revealed, that gives you the wisdom God has given Sid Roth over many decades of Jewish evangelism. Plus, you will receive the new and improved version of our Jewish menorah pendant that opens doors to share your love of Yeshua everywhere you go. This pendant symbolizes the seven-candle lampstand that stood in the Jewish temple's holy place. This anointed pendant features 18-karat gold plating over a stainless steel handcrafted menorah with faceted stones set into each of the seven candles. It comes with a matching 20-inch gold-plated chain in a gift box with Sid Roth's It's Supernatural imprinted on the top. Call or go online at SidRoth.org to get Rick Joyner's prophetic book, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days, exposing Satan's three most powerful evil strongholds. You'll also receive Sid Roth's personal booklet, The Mystery Law of Evangelism Revealed. Plus, we will send you our new and improved 18-karat gold-plated menorah pendant, all yours for a donation of $49. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9926 or send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural, P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9926.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Okay, Rick, what is the ultimate racial barrier that we have to overcome? The ultimate.
Jew and Gentile.
See, I told you you'd be surprised. Explain.
Well, racism actually empowers the spirit of death. More death has entered the world through racism in all of its forms. Most wars are actually racist wars, country, you know, nations against others, but it's really ethnic conflict. People fighting each other because they're different or different religions and faith. But we also see that when Jew and Gentile are grafted together, as we see in Romans 9 through 11, into that one new man, he said, what is this but life from the dead, the overcoming of that spirit of death? So it's one that I believe the Lord has allowed for his own purposes. It has to be overcome. The church cannot understand its full purpose without understanding Israel, the natural Israel's full purpose. They can't understand their full purpose without understanding ours. And right now, there's great division between them. At the end, I think we're going to understand how we are made complete with each other. And that's going to bring forth what is called the one new man, which I believe is the new creation man manifested on the earth as God intended, because it will have overcome every racial barrier, you know, fundamentally.
You say the Gentile church needs to take up the burden of reaching the Jew.
Of course. Matter of fact, I think we see, you know, let's look at Peter was sent to the Jews, Paul sent to the Gentiles. Looks like God got that mixed up.
Yeah, I would have picked Paul. I studied under the greatest rabbis of the day.
Exactly.
And they would have respected. He picks a fisherman to go to the Jews.
He picks someone they would totally disrespect and sends the one who they would have respected, the Jews would have respected, the Gentiles. Gentiles hated the Pharisees. You know, they. But what he did was he made both of them utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit to fulfill their calling. Nobody was going to come to Jesus. None of the Jews were going to come to Jesus because they liked Peter. They were going to have to see something a lot bigger in Peter, operating in Peter, that they could overlook that. And the same with Paul. Paul even told the Galatians, I know my flesh was a trial to you, but you saw beyond that. You received me as if I were an angel from God. So they weren't, you know, he understood his flesh was a trial to the very ones he's trying to reach. He has to have the Holy Spirit, the grace of God. And I think there is something that we're going to see. I know, you know, some been in a lot of the messianic movements and congregations, and I've asked a couple of the biggest, raise your hands, how many are Jews here that were reached by another Jew? And it was almost nobody.
Yeah, and most Gentiles think it's the Jewish believer that's supposed to reach the Jew. It's kind of logical. Again, so what's God going to do? He's making the Gentiles the Peter of his day.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And the Jews did better at reaching the Gentiles. Our whole scripture is written by Jews, you know, and we need to understand that the Jewish foundation that God has, the natural branches, and how we were wild branches grafted into this.
There's so much revelation in what you're talking about. In Rick's book, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days, he teaches on how to discern and overcome all of these major strongholds. Why do you sense an urgency to get this word out now?
Well, the days are getting shorter. You know, we really are coming to the end of this age, which to me is the greatest time there's ever been to be alive and to see the great works of God, you know. But so it's the time when all of this is coming together, and it is going to happen. It is going to happen. The harvest is coming in. The whole earth is going to be reaped, like we see in the book of Revelation. We get to be here for this.
You teach about Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Well, you know, it says there, "Rise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." Now, if that doesn't describe where we are right now. But then it says, "But his glory is going to rise upon you, and his glory is going to appear upon you." So at the very time of the deepest darkness, we're seeing the glory of the Lord manifest. And then the third verse says, "And the nations are going to come to the brightness of your rising." The glory is going to win.
It's the harvest.
Going to win.
You're
exactly.
describing the harvest.
Yeah.
Speaking of harvest, do you know about God or do you know him? Have you had religion or have you had experiential relationship with God? Your own experience, not someone special. The special one, he died and rose from the dead. His name is Jesus. He wants to have a real relationship with you. Say out loud with your mouth, believe it to the best of your heart. Dear God, please forgive me for my sins. I believe your blood has washed away all of my sins. And now that I'm clean, Jesus, come and live inside of me. I make you my Lord and Savior. Rick, look in the camera and pray for the harvest.
Lord, you paid such an incredible price for our salvation. And it says, God so loved the world, not just man, but the whole world. But you gave man authority over the earth and responsibility over the earth. And Lord, I ask right now that that great glory that is spoken of by Isaiah in Isaiah 60, where your glory would appear upon your people in this great darkness that is increasing like I believe at no other time in history. Right now, Lord, raise up your standard, raise up your light that wins in the end, just like we see there in those verses, where the nations will come to the brightness of your rising. Lord, I ask you that the greatest manifestation of what you created man to be like would come forth in this time, that every man, woman, child, everybody could point to your new creation and say, that is what I am called to be. That is who I am. And be drawn to you the only way that we can become who we are called to be and created to be. In Jesus' name, amen.